day. How you doing?
No problem. I'm pretty well. Just taking a day off work, so I feel fantastic.
Yeah, well, obviously you got the new album that's just coming out pretty soon. What can you tell me about it, and basically what did you want to achieve with this album?
I don't know if it's what we wanted to achieve, but I guess I know it's easy enough to sort of to talk about it because I've had a long time to live with it since it's been done. But I think what we got out of it was we stopped being ashamed of our metal and heavier background. I think for the first two records, we were dealing with the idea that the blues was cool and maybe overforcing all of that down the bayou and maybe even hillbilly elements. And this time, maybe we've got maybe more intuitive song structures, but we've definitely made our peace and just been allowed ourselves to be a heavy band again. Whether or not people will accept that as metal, that's up to the people who can headbang the best to decide.
Okay, and why do you think you were a little bit afraid of showcasing your more heavier side of things?
I think it's having existed in the metal or hardcore, and every time I say either of those words, I feel like I have to add a whole bunch of caveats or qualifiers. But just if I just leave that alone, I think that sort of speaks to the problem itself. Coming out of something where if you weren't completely conforming with every element of the genre, which somehow builds up a scene where there's ways that you can look and act as well as play. You know, we want to move far away from that as possible. And the good thing I found really early Gay Paris, when I still had hair even, is it was more of a, you know, once we started playing, we ended up getting booked with like folk and blues bands. And it's like, you know, there's still a hell of a lot of screaming on those first two records. Mm. And as far as I'm concerned, riffs for days. But, you know, you could be what you want, and you didn't have to maybe worry. I'm not necessarily worried about getting beaten up after a show, but you get sick of, I got sick of maybe less than inclusive, and definitely I don't care about party attitude. So there was all of that. I want to play music that makes people dance. I want to play music that makes me dance. And I felt like that from when we were in like a spazzy, techie metal band. And I feel like that now at the other end of having written what I think is a stoner rock record. I still feel like I can shake to it. So.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's not a, I think maybe it's different in metal now. I don't know. Like, I guess I don't really go. I've spent so much time touring, and I guess I don't get to see a lot of newer metal bands. I don't want to say new metal with the unfortunate consequences of that genre. But yeah, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, totally. I mean, unfortunately, in the whole sort of heavy metal world, I mean, there is a sort of stigma of conforming to certain things, which is weird because heavy metal seems to be all about, you know, conforming against the mainstream. But there is a sort of attitude towards a lot of people who like this kind of music that kind of like their music a certain way. And when a band like yourself come along and sort of like push that boundary, it kind of scares people a little bit.
Yes, I tend to agree, but then I guess that it's also, unless you're a really hardline, and maybe this is something that's excellent, and maybe I was just a coward earlier on, but people will come to our shows, and you'll notice you can see subgenres stamped on people's foreheads almost, and I just noticed, like, say we've toured with like heavy bands that go from, say, King Parrot end of I don't want to get my genres wrong here, thrash or grind or something, all the way to like Sleep Makes Waves playing math rock, and that's like that's us as a support act, where it's not really our crowd, you know. And the fun there is after people realize what's happening and they're not getting, like, you know, they're not getting King Parrot or Sleep Makes Junior, they tend to be willing to go, okay, let's explore the good time. And I think that's impressive to me in a way that I didn't see the world when I was a younger fellow, and I feel maybe you see that coming into more bands in the way they write, or maybe you're allowed to be more fluid now thanks to internet file sharing, because you don't just have to spend your hard earned cash. Well, I would beg everybody to spend their hard earned cash on music, but you can also get it for free and listen to unlimited music. And I've probably heard more records in the last like year than my dad heard in his whole life. So so maybe there's that too. Maybe that's valuable. But if we look at the other side of music being devalued, maybe what the artist is allowed to do has been expanded. So maybe that's good too. But then I would also say, well, look at what Bowie was doing in the 70s, and he just didn't give a shit. So you should still always, people have always been able to do what they felt like.
Yeah, that's right. There's always going to be some kind of outlet, no matter what the format is, I guess. But interesting you mentioned the sort of the whole state of the music industry, and sort of, yeah, there's positives and negatives to that, you know, whole downloading thing. But from your end, I mean, do you find a lot of people are discovering your music because they are downloading your stuff, or do you find there's a lot of people sort of are actually going to your shows and buying your music?
Yeah, it's tough to know, and I guess at our level, like maybe the bands that are at a level where a few extra bucks might make a difference, or also the bands that don't care about the few extra bucks because you're so desperate. I don't know if desperate's the correct word. I want to put a positive on it. But you're so ambitious to get more of an audience. And also I'd say, like, we've all got day jobs, but maybe when you are in a band where this is all you do, every single download, or if, like, it's the difference between, maybe for us it's 5 downloads in a year, when if it's someone who has 500,000 downloads, well, maybe that's a huge difference in your pocket. I don't know. And so it's another weird tiered and skewed thing. Like, for me, I don't really care if people get our music for free, but maybe I would care if that's what I was, if the money from that was what I was using to feed my dog.
Yeah.
That's tough, but I still feel like the way that we are exposed to people most of all is by people coming to our shows. That said, that sort of slowed down for a while because we just spent so long headlining. But I feel like now that we've just sort of gone out and done a couple of supports in the last year, you know, you notice the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of touring, obviously you got a national tour coming up. In fact, the first and only time that I've seen you guys was about 2 years ago when you came over to Perth. And I didn't really know too much about you, but I heard one of your songs and I thought, oh, this is really good. And but the thing that sort of, speaking of labels and stuff, the thing that sort of came to my mind when I first heard your stuff was it was like similar to ZZ Top, but like on acid. That was the only way I could sort of describe it. And there's a lot of people saying this sort of similar kind of stuff as well. But I mean, your live show is quite unique, and you have a very sort of interesting stage presence as well. Where do you draw a lot of your influences and stuff like that from?
Well, acid is a relatively okay starting point, I guess. We have to look at that. Not necessarily much now. I think once you hit a certain point, you're always chasing that, and it's good to walk away. But someone told me a long time ago, this will change what you do as an artist. And I feel like maybe it did. But I feel like now there are other avenues to explore to get that. I think where I'm getting influence from now, and this might be weird, but it's ideas of disassociation from self, but not, say, I don't think in an unhealthy way, but it's the removal of the I. I think there are ideas of this in Buddhism, but I don't buy into that system of thought, only because of the folkloric religion attached to it. But I think there's a lot of meditation in our stage show for me, because hopefully, and when I get it right, and when I don't get it right, I know and I can feel that it's wrong. There's something mystical, and you remove the subject object relationship, and so that's a bit weird maybe to say. But the other influence, you know, because there's a lot of what I find, having toured for a very long, well, like by my reckoning, I've been doing this for my whole adult life. So it's, you know, there's this idea of, you know, get drunk with your friends and you're having the best time. And there's a lot of that, but then there's also the point of, are you still the person that your friends think you are when you're wasted? And I still get wasted, but there's a lot of my concern in that, and I feel like my stage presence has evolved along with that recognition. So maybe now, hopefully this time around, I can be acting with people in fun, not acting fun at people. It's I've got a 10 a.m. party for Lost for Hangover, so I might be discombobulated.
That's all right. I guess it's one of those things where, you know, you play enough shows and enough time goes by and you sort of start finding your own sort of your own way and, you know, evolving the band and that kind of stuff, which is it's a pretty interesting sort of thing. What can we expect on the actual tour itself as far as your shows and set lists and all that kind of stuff?
I guess shows is hard to say because I feel like maybe I don't know where the other three guys are at in their headspace. Maybe I think you'll find that maybe I'm a different person. I hope that still translates to bringing the party because I understand that that's my job. So as far as set list, I think, you know, obviously we have a new record, so hopefully, I guess we've got to cater the set lists. Like, we've got three albums now. We've got, what's that, like 6 to 8 years worth of music. I don't know when we wrote the first album. But it's a lot to pick from, and I guess we cater that to where we are, like, say, somewhere like WA, where we haven't been a whole bunch. Maybe it's less important for us to play really old stuff that we only really played when we were just driving up and down the East Coast. So I don't know. I want to play a lot of the new stuff because I feel it's more comfortable with where I sit ideologically. Like, and also some of the first record, I don't remember what the songs are about and I can't read through my own stupid metaphors. So it's hard to work out what I'm saying in between songs, which is always, it's a big thing for me. I feel like I need to explain myself in between song at length. If I'm not demanding people buy me drinks. Hopefully I'm less of an asshole this time around. It's a lot of new stuff. I think we've got a couple of covers that we're working on, whether or not they'll make the scratch or not. We'll probably try and play some stuff off the second record that didn't really get a run over the last 2 years because we overwrote parts and then never got good at playing them outside of the studio. So okay. The good thing about this record is we've sat on it for a year, so we hopefully are incredibly well practiced. And to the point where, you know, you would think that Lachlan would be able to play two guitar parts at once. It's either that or we're going to have to actually rope in a second guitarist, hopefully. So we'll see if that works.
Okay, cool. Well, we're absolutely looking forward to it. And I'm certainly looking forward to seeing you guys again. So, it should be a great tour. And, the album's sounding great as well. So thanks for your time today, and we'll see you on tour.
Thanks, man. We'll see you then.